living beyond your capacity. And we're not talking about like money, you know, living beyond your means. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what the Holy Spirit of God can do in your heart and can do in your life and the difference he can make. I know the last couple weeks I've really been encouraged, reminding me all the things that the Holy Spirit of God can do to help me. And I tell you, this week's lesson, it's a little bit long, so we might have to split up between two. But if you listen, if you really, truly listen, I think there's some things you can learn this morning that can help you about the Holy Spirit of God. I know it was a big encouragement to me as I was studying it out, as I was looking at things. It's a big encouragement to me. So today's lesson is the Holy Spirit and His strengthening ministry. You look at that passage of scripture, and probably some of you could quote this, at least the last verse, but it's just a wonderful passage of scripture. He says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, and he said, you know what? There are going to be times when we are weak. There are going to be times when we need our strength increased. He's saying, even the young people, they get tired at times. I've seen that, you know, if they're playing basketball or football, they come back and they're exhausted and they just kind of fall out on their bed and go to sleep. I've seen that happen to my sons. They can get tired even though they seem like they have energy all the time. You ever been around a little kid who seems like they never quiet and never sit still? There's a time when they just flat out just crash, and they crash wherever they want to most times. It's because even the youth have a need for strength, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What some wonderful verses there. Anybody ever ran out of gas before? I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about physically inside your car. Anybody ever run out of gas in their car? See, I was thinking, somebody said, I was looking for similar illustrations about this, and they said, use an experience when you ran out of gas before. And I've never ran out of gas. I've never ever met or knew that I met somebody that ran out of gas in a car before. So, cause they, all of them have those gauges. Why wouldn't you fill them up? I don't got the money. What is it? What? When the gauges don't work properly. That's right. No quarter of a tank. I know that happens. I'm just messing. When you're 16, you just want to drive your car. You just push the limit. Yeah, so I have pushed the limit before, and I've been nervous before when I'm pulling into the gas tank, but I've never ever ran out of gas. Now, how about running out of gas spiritually or physically, you know, mentally and emotionally? I know you don't have to raise your hand for that, because I know most of us have been there before. And I tell you that the hard time when it is when we get exhausted, when we get fatigued. You know, it brings us to a spot where we make bad decisions lots of times. I don't know about you, but when a person's usually really tired, that's usually when they're the grumpiest. Hardest to deal with. The hardest to, you know, you need to go take a nap. You know, you need to go get some rest. You need that. And weariness has a profoundly negative impact on your family and on your life. Sometimes a trial or a burden can cause weariness. Other times it may be a hectic schedule or endless expectations of others. Other times it is the result of sin or a failure with your walk with God. You know, Vince Lombardi, the old famous football coach, said this, fatigue makes cowards of all of us. And I don't know if that works maybe on the football field. I don't know if that always applies to all of us. But, you know, if we're tired and we don't look to the Lord, we are going to be cowards when we're supposed to be doing the right things. It's when we try to live our own strength and when we have run out of gas, we don't always diagnose the problem as right. We like to blame everybody else. We like to blame circumstances. But many times it's just we are just worn out and fatigued. And we misunderstand what's going on in our hearts and mind. It can affect our attitudes. It can affect our outlooks. It appears to it can actually change the reflection of your heart. Weariness can lead you to believe that you actually feel differently about life and that you need some radical change to make your life enjoyable again. It's one of those feelings things. You ever got to the point where you're so exhausted and you said, I'm done with it. I can't do this anymore. I don't care if I ever see my kids again. I don't care if I ever see my grandkids again. You just go so worn out because you get frustrated or tired. We don't really feel that way, but for that moment in time, we can get overwhelmed. You know, that what changes or what needs to happen? What causes us to question the foundational important things in our mind? It's when we are weary or when we overwhelm, when we're tired, people make mistakes like marital infidelity. They abuse the family. They make horrible financial decisions. They spiritually change their mind on decisions that they made inside God's will. And simply put, when we are depleted and when we feel like life is overwhelming and everything is bothering us, that's when we are short with our spouse and frustrated with our children and we lose our control. And the truth is, a good night's sleep could help us some ways, but there is a spiritual side of us that gets depleted too. It's just not physically. Sometimes spiritually we can become overwhelmed to the point where we need our strength renewed. We need a refreshing of the courage and confidence. Christians are warned that weariness can destroy us. No matter how excited you are about being a Christian, if we are weary and fatigued in our Christian lives, you know what can happen? We can end up making bad decisions. Mr. Chambers, can you look at the air there for me, please? It's a little bit warm up here. Just make sure it's on 69 there and on cool. So it is, I'm sorry, it's cold for some people, it's warm for most, and it's hot for some. So, we were trying around the church, we haven't put heat or air on because it's supposed to be 65 outside right now. And we love not having to pay for anything, right? Praise the Lord for that. And then, when you get a room in here with some hot air going and a lot of people talking, and I know that mine's the one that talks the longest. I know, it gets a little bit warm in here. So, but I know others are still cold and I'm sorry for that God made you that way, but we're going to try to reach those that are normal, or at least what I think is normal. When it comes to your temperature gauges, how about that? So, don't throw anything at me, Miss Sandy. Okay. So let's look here at what the Bible's saying here. So when the Holy Spirit of God actually says He will give you strength when you need it. He actually says that He will give you power when you're faint. You know, when we think we can do it on our own, when we think we can handle it in our own strength and our own power, the Holy Spirit is not going to renew our strength then. It's when we feel like, and once again, I know this is easy to do, but there's some times in our lives you got to understand spiritually we can run dry and we need to look to God. And there's sometimes some things we just got to walk through. Sometimes I talked to my mom this week and she's always a big encouragement to me. She said, "We're going to get through this." And I said, "I know we will." And she says, "God's in control of all." She says, "I guess got to take it one day at a time." And you know, and that's just reality of it is when we look at it that way, then God can help us. And when we say we can handle this and we can do this, we can do that, then we're relying on our own strength. Then I believe many times we are the ones that are going to deplete our spiritual levels. Psalm and Isaiah 40:31, it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord." This idea of waiting is actually binding together in patience. The word picture is similar to what Brother Skelly was preaching on that Monday night when that group of people just kind of looked up to God and they were just looking at God and saying, "God, we're waiting for you to do something. We can't do anything about this enemy. We can't do anything about these problems, but we are stopping and we are looking to you and we are praying and we're waiting on you." That's the idea there of saying about waiting on the Lord. It's when we are completely depleted, when we are weak, when we need strength. He is going to increase our strength. When we have no might, He's going to increase our strength. When we are faint, He is going to give us power. So some verses here I want you to look at. I mean, some things here about the Holy Spirit. I mean, they're just wonderful, and I think you'll enjoy it. We might not get through all of them today. It might be a two-part lesson, but I want to spend some time here looking at this because I think it's something that all of us can use help with. First thing is the Holy Spirit leads and guides. As we learned about last week, He teaches us and brings all things to our remembrance. There it goes. But the Comforter, and this is the Holy Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 8:14, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, let's consider this phrase, led by the Spirit of God. Why is it important for us to recognize the Spirit of God's leadership and to listen to it? One reason I think is because without Him, we are easily deceived. Without Him, we are easily deceived. And the reality of the thing is the devil is really good at what he does, and he is good at deceiving us. Mr. Bateman taught a lesson yesterday to the kids at Super Saturday, and he talked about how, you know, Jacob dressed up and he deceived his father because his father could not see that well, and how Satan dressed up in a sense as a serpent and deceived Eve. You know what? We are easily deceived many times when it comes to time. But when we are very tired and when our strength is depleted and spiritually we are weak, we become deceived into believing things that just are not true. Most people are led and often misled by their emotions, their feelings, and their desires. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes into our lives, we receive a new internal leader. Emotions and desires that often deceive us can be changed, and we can see the truth because with the Holy Spirit of God on the scene. Emotions are meant to come to order and follow in step with God's leadings. It's not what we just what we feel. We're supposed to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like witnessing. I don't feel like being nice to my husband, my wife. You know, our feelings many times can they're just wrong. We're easily deceived by them. We can say, well, this is, what's the Holy Spirit of God saying? You think about an airplane, and once again, I am not a pilot. I know Mr. Larry flies a little plane around. Does anybody else fly planes? Anybody else ever fly planes? That's great. So if I get this illustration wrong, you won't know. A pilot, you know, what does he depend upon? He depends upon his instruments. That's right. Because many times a pilot will find it necessary. If you're in maybe some type of battle and you're trying to do an evasive maneuvers, he can become so disoriented. Even the best fighter pilots can become so disoriented that he's not able to discern whether he's flying up into the clouds or straight down because of the maneuvers he had to do. And what does he have to rely on? His instrument panels. Even the planes, the big commercial planes, can fly into what they call the soup, which is nothing but cloud condition that where you can't see anything. And you know what? You could feel like, well, maybe I think we should go this way, or I think I should go this way. That's why he has to depend upon his instrument panel. Because his feelings, he can get disoriented. He doesn't really know what's going on. And when the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, saying that our Holy Spirit of God, he is our instrument panels, and we can be easily deceived by the devil, just as Eve was, just as Jacob easily deceived his father. We can easily be deceived by the things of this world and by our emotions, and we must learn to listen to the Holy Spirit of God's leadership and guidance. It cannot be based off of, this is how I feel today, and just because I feel it, it must be right. That's a lie from the devil. I had somebody tell me one time, well, this is the way I feel. Shouldn't I just say it? No, there's a lot of times when I feel like saying something that I know isn't right. It isn't godly. And I let the Holy Spirit of God do the best they can to let me guide with my words. Because once you say those words, you're not getting them back. In that sense, her words do hurt. You know, you can say sticks and stones break my bones. They do. But you know what? Words can hurt individuals. And we need to be careful. I know we shouldn't be overly sensitive. But you know what? We need to learn to lead on the Holy Spirit of God. Without it, we can be easily deceived. Just like the pilot can be deceived by what his mind is telling him, a Christian who is weary, a Christian who is depleted, can be deceived by his own perception of his current situation. Just as a pilot must trust his instruments when his mind has tricked him into thinking he must go to do the opposite of what his instruments tell him, the weary child of God must follow the Holy Spirit of God to lead and guide him during the times of weakness. Following his leading provides safety, while depending upon our own strength and our own wisdom will end in disaster. So it's simply put, we always would say, yes, the airplane should follow its instrument panel. We should always follow the Holy Spirit of God. No matter what it feels like, we must be faithful to what the Holy Spirit of God says. Next thing is, he's going to lead us safely. Without him, we're going to be easily deceived. With him, he's going to be able to safely lead us. It's significant that you can depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to lead you when you can't depend on your own feelings. That means as a Christian, you will finally be free from a daily aimlessness and emotionally unstableness. You think about the freedom the Holy Spirit of God gives us. You think about the freedom that we're, if we follow the leadership of God and we do what God tells us to do, we can put everything on Him and He will safely lead us. No longer do we have to be emotionally unstable. No longer do we have to wander aimlessly. I wonder what I should do or what I should not do. He gives us literally a carefree type of living if we'll just submit to Him and submit to His words. What does God's word say about it? This is what I'm going to do. This is God's word. And I'm going to trust that He's going to lead us right. When the Holy Spirit of God is leading and guiding, life becomes much more stable and much more truth-oriented. While the storms of life will rage, your heart can be anchored in the leading and guiding presence of God. We do not need to worry. What is worry anyway? Many times it's a lack of faith. Anxiety can take a vacation. Stress can dissipate. God is in control and His Holy Spirit is navigating every moment. On board a ship or an aircraft, you always find a navigator. Anybody been a navigator before? I'm not talking about you sitting on your next to your husband in the car navigating. I'm talking about an airplane. I'm just picking on you, Miss Fred. Those navigators are important. Sometimes you don't listen to those navigators. Because, you know, we think one way or another. The Holy Spirit of God, He knows. He is our navigator. I was thinking like an airplane navigator, a boat navigator. That person is responsible for planning the trip, advising of travel conditions, warning of hazards, keeping the accurate communication to and from the captain. The navigator is essential to any safe and prosperous voyage. And this is what the Holy Spirit of God does. He will say, warning, you cannot go this way. This is the way you should head. He is like the navigator of our life. Before we were saved, we would just wander and we would just do what we wanted to do because we knew no better, headed towards destruction, knowing the end path is hell, but not really knowing what we should do about it. The Holy Spirit of God will navigate us. Oh, you're going a little too close there. Oh, you need to back away from over there. Go full speed. That's what the Holy Spirit of God will do for us. I don't know about you, but this is encouraging. This is something we should grab a hold of and say, hey, I want to get as much of God as I can because I need Him to lead me. I need Him to guide me because I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. That's when we get to the spot, you know, we should, as the verses we looked at today, as found in your Bible, it says, He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, He increases strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Our Holy Spirit of God will lead us, and He will guide us. And I tell you, that is a miraculous thing. Whenever you are right, wherever you are right now, whatever circumstances you face, we must learn to trust the navigator. Listen to His voice. Let Him lead. Let Him guide you safely home. He knows what's best. It is a fool that ignores the navigator. It is a foolish person that ignores the instrument panels. It's ones who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and not lean on their own understandings and let the Spirit of God lead and direct them in their lives. Next thing, not only does He lead and guide, but He also assures us. The Holy Spirit assures us. You know, when times get hard and it feels like no one loves us. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been there before. I know we know that even, you know, our moms love us. We tell the kids that yesterday they were painting sun catchers and some of them looked kind of bad. They were cute. I agree. Some of them look kind of bad. It says, don't worry. Your mom's going to like it no matter how bad it looks. She's got to put it on the refrigerator and think it's the most beautiful possession of art no matter what. And it actually turned out well. And they needed to put a little bit more paint in, and I didn't realize that, and my wife didn't realize that. And when you flip it over, it looks different, but they ended up turning out nice. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He assures us something. He assures us of the unconditional love that God gives us. As human nature to want to be accepted and affirmed, as human nature to want to fit in, some people go to great lengths to fit in and become socially acceptable. And you look at the way some of these people dress today, and you're like, why in the world would they, do that? And then that's why would they wear their pants halfway down? Or, I guess they want to be socially accepted in a certain group. They're doing whatever they can. You know, they odd in some of the tattoos and the, all these other things. They want to be accepted. But the Holy Spirit, you know what it does? It assures us. He assures us of the unconditional love of God. Nobody likes to wonder where he stands with others. In fact, it is a very unsettling feeling. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit of God provides with us an assurance and security. What does he assure us of? You think about it. You know, sometimes it's really uncomfortable when you don't know how somebody feels about you. Sometimes when especially as a pastor or a preacher, there are sometimes when you have to approach somebody. You think there's a problem. You don't know where they stand. It's a little bit uncomfortable if you don't know what that person thinks of you. And you're trying to reconcile things, trying to restore things. And you know what? It is wonderful to know something. And the Holy Spirit of God confirms this and shows us in our lives when we are depleted and when we are tired, we can always be assured of the unconditional love of God. It is our heart's deepest longing to be unconditionally loved and fully accepted. And we know we don't measure up. We know that we fall short. And yet our heart craves the knowledge that God is truly on our side. In spite of our failures and in spite of our sin, God still loves us. And he proved that to us. But God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We can be assured of this. When we get weak and we get tired, the Holy Spirit of God can remind us, hey, God loves you. He can lead us. He can guide us. And when you're facing whatever the struggle is, you can always remember that God knows who you are, knows everything you've ever done, knows everything you will ever do. He knows everything you've ever thought, and he still loved you. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God can remind us of. He commended his love toward us. It wasn't just words. He actually showed it to us. He actually approved it to us. And he not only does he love us, we are accepted in him. I don't know about you, but he has accepted us. He assures us that he loved us and that we accepted in Christ to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 16, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now this word, Abba, Father, is kind of like, it's the Hebrew word for daddy or dada. Dada, excuse me. I don't know what you said first or what your child says first. Sometimes they go mama. Sometimes they go dada. Sometimes they say no first. I don't know. It all depends on what household I think they're brought up in. So the picture of this is that you are a precious child of God. The child in the Middle Eastern cultures will learn how to say Abba or Abba, Abba instead of dada. And this is the idea here of crying out Abba, Father, is that he is our Father, and that we are his precious child. He views you the way that a father would see his infant. You think about it. When a baby comes into a house, does he have to earn someone's respect? No. When that little baby comes into the house, that baby is loved. That baby is accepted. And pretty much that baby can't do anything wrong. That baby can stay up all night screaming, and it's still the cutest baby in all the world. Oh, listen, he can scream better than the other kid can scream. Look, you know, we're proud of that baby. We are accepting of that baby. We love that baby. We think it's the greatest thing in the world, except for maybe it being a grandbaby. Then it comes even a little bit better, I think. And so, you know, then that grandbaby definitely can't do anything wrong. It's accepted. Doesn't matter if it's the ugliest kid in all the world. Look at how great my kid looks. Look how great my grandkid looks. He's accepted. He's loved. And it's the same way with the Holy Spirit of God. He tells us that we're accepted in him. You know, we cry, Abba, Father. He is our Father. He looks at us, and to him, we are the greatest looking kid in the world. We are accepted by him. We're not going to throw the baby out of the house. It's ridiculous to even think about that. And that's the way God is with us and accepted. We are accepted in the beloved. When a baby is brought into a loving home, that baby doesn't have to do anything to earn his keep. Loving parents will tenderly nurture and care for that child. They will give him what he needs. They will clothe him. You know what? This is the way our Father looks at us. You are his delight. His Spirit resides in you to provide the steady, calm assurance that you are held in his hand, secure in his love, and safe in his care. When you are tired, and when you are weak, when you're wondering if there's anybody that understands you or cares about you, the Holy Spirit of God can come alongside you. He can lead and guide you, but he can reassure you the fact that God loves you. I don't know if you've been there before, but when I get tired, when I get weak, one of the first things the devil tries to deceive me about is, if God loved you, he wouldn't let all these things go on you. But there's something in me that's saying, you know what? You know that God loves you. You know that Jesus Christ came to this world to die for you, and that you have an eternal home in heaven, and God's promised you He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. That's the Holy Spirit of God that is assuring me of what? He's assuring me of the unconditional love. He is assuring me that I am accepted in Christ. He is assuring me. And what is He doing there? The Holy Spirit of God is taking those that are faint and He's giving them strength. He's taking those that have no might and giving them power, because they are waiting on the Lord. They are going to be able to mount up as wings as eagles, because they know the Holy Spirit of God is leading them, guiding them, and reminding them every step of the way, you are loved. You are accepted. There is someone who cares for you. There is someone who is going to stick closer to you than a brother. There is someone who, no matter what you do, will still love you and accept you. And I don't know about you, but that helps you when you're hurting and when you're down and when you're discouraged. Another thing the Holy Spirit of God does, He comforts us. He comforts us. I don't know about you, but I don't know how some people make it through without the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God. I know what they try sometimes. They try to do things that are fixes, quick fixes, painkillers in a sense. Not the medicine, but they do things that try to just gnaw at the pain. Think about this. Here in John chapter 14, it says, I will pray for the Father, and He will give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not. Neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and ye shall be in you. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. When I read those verses, I remember the section of the Bible that it's in. Jesus is walking to His death. He is freely giving His life for the sins of mankind. And He goes up to these disciples and says, look, it's best for you that I go away. I don't know about you, but if I had been with Jesus for 3 years and I watched Him feed 5,000 people, 4,000 people, and then you add their families in there, you know, 30,000 people at one time, however many you want to say. And I watched Him calm the storms. I watched Him tell Peter, go get that fish and pull the coin out. I watched Him do so many different great things. My confidence would be there with Him. If He was there, I could face anything. I mean, it would just be there. And then for Him to come up to me and say, hey, I'm leaving, I got to go away, I don't know about you, but that would be like devastating. And then for Him to tell me, it's what's best for you. And you go and you say, best for me? I don't know about you, sometimes I've had people tell me, I'm going to hate, my parents, I'm going to hate punishing you, but it's what's best for you. Well, if you hate it and I hate it, why are we going to do it? It's because it's what's best. I don't think it's what's best for me. And that's what the disciples got to be thinking and saying, how could this be what's best for us? And see, the Holy Spirit of God was able to comfort them. When He had sent out the disciples before, they went alone. I know the Holy Spirit of God went with them at that point in time, but Jesus could not be with them at all the time. This is not their version of the script. They were thinking that the kingdom was coming, positions of honors was coming, a liberation of their nation was coming. Their script had nothing to do with the trial, the flogging, the death sentence, the ascension to heaven. They never thought that Jesus was going to go somewhere, but the Holy Spirit of God had to come so He could comfort us. First thing you think about, He comforts us as a release from fear. You know what? We no longer have to be afraid. The Holy Spirit of God lives with us. He even says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So don't be worried. Don't be fearful. God knew that life was going to be hard. Being a Christian doesn't remove any hardness. It assures us that we can survive it by His grace, and by through His purpose, and even with His joy. Everybody's life is tough in some way, but how do many people find a way to go through the tough stuff with strength, peace, and courage? And the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds to Jesus Christ. See, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. That word comforter means our intercessor, our consoler, our advocate, the Holy Spirit of God that is in you. He is for you. He is on your side. He breathes hope in your hearts. He gives you comfort in your life. He is not only on the journey, but he is the one that comforts you throughout that journey. And as tough times are coming along, it's okay. You can do this. It's okay. Miss Connie told me this morning, says, we're going to make it through this. And I agree. We make it through some very, very dark times, but how much better it is to have the Holy Spirit of God walking alongside you, I guess comforting you along the way. We don't have to have fear. We've been released from that fear. Those things that we're afraid of, that doesn't come from God. God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. But we got to remember this, that the Holy Spirit of God is the one that can give us the strength. He's the one that can give us the might. He's the one that can help us rise up above the circumstances where we can run and we can walk in this Christian life. Not only are we released from fear, but we're rescued from sorrow. Rescued from sorrow. Most people in the world do everything possible to avoid tragedy. And when it comes, they fall to pieces. To the unsaved soul, sorrow is an absolute, hopeless, and overwhelming experience. But for those who know the Holy Spirit, sorrow is but for a while, and God provides comfort and strength to those who get through it. Christians sorrow, but they sorrow with hope, while unbelievers sorrow with no hope. Think about what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I was telling Miss Connie and her husband and Mr. Armstrong this morning, you know what? We have hope because Mrs. Armstrong professed that she was a Christian. And I got to talking to Mrs. Armstrong 12 years ago about her testimony. Now, in the last few years, maybe she didn't have as much mental capability as she had done before. And sometimes she says, oh, I sure hope so. I remember talking to her many years ago, and she gave a clear testimony that she was a Christian and she was on her way to heaven. And I think it's good to understand that before, you know, people get so much older that sometimes they start losing some faculties and sometimes they might not remember. I think it's good to hear those things now and understand what our loved ones and what their testimonies are. So we have this hope now and say that we can say Mrs. Armstrong is in heaven. She's in a better place. We don't have to be worried. I know some people's when their parents die, when they lose loved ones, they fall completely apart. And I've even seen Christians do that. And don't say that. It's just there's nothing wrong with mourning. There's nothing wrong with sorrow. But if we don't have to sorrow like everybody else does. We have hope. I mean, anything else can anyone can say that would be better than that. Look, I know we're weeping. I know we're mourning, but it's a different type of weeping, mourning. We're sorry. We're sorry for ourselves because of the fact that we're the ones that are here and they're not here anymore and they're much better off. And our sorrow is for the hearts that are broken and the relationships that will be missed. But we don't have to sorrow like someone who doesn't think we're ever going to see them again. I mean, that makes life so much different. We're rescued from that sorrow. We do not have to sorrow like other people do. We have the Holy Spirit of God that reminds us of this and teaches us this. You think about Job. He said, maybe you feel like Job does at times. He says, I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. And what do you mean? There are some people who are going to be miserable because they do not understand the truths that the Bible has. And you know what? There are people who are in sorrow. They will always be in sorrow because they do not have the hope or not willing to put their faith and trust in the hope that we have. And there are some people that are miserable comforters. I've heard people come up and tell people that are miserable when they're trying to console somebody. Everything will be okay. You know, do you have hope? What is your hope found in? Is it found in Jesus Christ? Because if it's found in Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about that person that's gone on. We know that they're in heaven. We know they're in a better place and we know we will see them again someday. The psalmist experienced this. He says, reproach have broken my heart and I am full of heaviness and I look for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, I found none. The truth is that people cannot fill this void. If they could, the world wouldn't be consumed with looking for every other way to find hope and happiness. The world is full of painkillers. Now, I'm not talking about a medicine. I'm talking about emotional painkillers, spiritual painkillers. I'm talking about people who turn to alcohol, who turn to drugs, who turn to illicit sexual relationships. Why do they turn to those? Those things are painkillers for them. what they do is they take the raw sting off of the fact that they have emptiness in their life because they do not have God. They do not know hope. They do not know peace. And because of that, they are trying to find their hope and their peace in a bottle, in a drug, in a relationship that is not right. And though painkillers don't fix anything, in fact, they make issues worse, they do provide temporary comfort. They do provide momentary relief from the pains of the heart because their true need is Jesus Christ. And they do not have the Holy Spirit of God that can give them the hope and peace that they need. And I know sometimes there's vices that Christians have, but if they would learn to rely on the Holy Spirit of God, they would not need these type of worldly painkillers. They instead, the Holy Spirit of God releases us from this prison. He rescues us from this endless search of temporary comfort, and he provides the true comfort for which all our souls are searching. The presence of the Spirit of God. No child of God is ever without a comforter. In our darkest moment of despair, we can turn to the Holy Spirit of God, and he can rescue us from that sorrow. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Here it is. He will comfort you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will assure you of the fact that you are loved and that you're accepted. Now, this is just point number three. There's a couple more points. We'll go over that next week. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God is great. Look at all the things he can do for you. Are you listening to him? Are you letting him lead you? Are you letting him guide you? Do you speak to him? Are you encouraged to him? I mean, God has given him to you, and he says it is better for you to have him than you to have me. And that he can take you, he can lead you, he can guide you. And in those darkest days, he can say you are loved. In those darkest days when it seems like nobody else accepts you, you are accepted. In those darkest days, he can come along and comfort you and say, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to sorrow. You don't have to go anywhere else, but turn to me. That's what the Holy Spirit of God can and will do for those who will listen to him. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.